All right, everybody, welcome inside a live Rapid Reacts following the Heinola Open Elite Series MPO, not Elite Series FPO. Just Charlie tonight. I am in Spain. It is 11:30 p.m. local time, but it still feels like the middle of the day. It is like, what is it right now? It's like 90 Fahrenheit still, maybe. At least 85, and there's no air conditioning in my house. So going to sleep early is only for the strongest of men, and that is not me tonight. So I'm up late with you. Thanks for joining me. Gannon Burr gets another one in Europe. I'm pretty sure he said he needed to win two more when he came on the pod, right? In order to like keep the greatest season ever conversation going. Maybe one's enough. He certainly continues to look like the best player in the world. No doubt about that. He's back on top. And did it with some fireworks. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to forget that shot on 13 for a while. That's going to be in the reels at the end of the season. If he had made the putt, it would have been like a top five hole of the year. Because he missed the putt, I don't know. Like, still an incredible tee shot. Like, going to be a memorable one for at the end of the season, but maybe not quite as good because he didn't actually make the putt. But yeah, I mean, Gannon looks like he's probably going to break the record. Like, this tournament did it. And so it's not just a win in the career win column, which he's going to get plenty more of those. Now he's going to set this all-time rating record, and who knows what the ceiling is on that. Could he be the first player to 1070? I would probably bet against that. Just think it's really, really hard to like average that level of play, but if someone's going to do it right now, it certainly would be him. And what more can you say about this guy? I mean, it felt kind of over after what, like five or six holes today? And that's, you gotta just tip the cap. I mean, I think everybody going into this round knows Gannon's the likely victor. And it didn't take long for him to seize the advantage. And it wasn't like over. Like, there were still possibilities for other players later into the round, but the guy birdies 8 of the first 10, and that's pretty much all she wrote, as you know, some of the other players on the card just didn't bring their best. I mean, through that same stretch, Daniel Davidson is only 3 under. Anni Ruusunen is only 3 under. Justus Sarvi is even par or 1 under, I guess. So thanks for coming, everyone. Ultimately, it's some heavy hitters who do the climbing of the leaderboard. You know, Calvin Heimberg jumps up into second. Anthony Barella climbs 25 spots into the top 10 with a 14 under. Incredible round from him. But let's just give a shout out to the obvious dog of the day, Fridtjof Fagergren, 11 down, finishes 23 under on the podium. Come on, man. I've never even heard of that guy. Has anybody heard of that guy before this? I legitimately have never seen this name before on PDGA Live. Love it. I love that, you know, Europe kind of gets its own like little Euro-focused event, I guess I would say. If only they streamed the FPO, right? We all could have enjoyed watching the FPO. Next update, Gannon's dropping 10 rounds under 1062. Wow. That's definitely going to help his cause. I did pick up some nice Daniel Davidson points. Thank you, sir, for finishing on the podium. Courses for courses. You got to know when to roll with that. We won't talk too much FPO, but Anniken Sten holds off all of the youngsters. Julia Forsch doesn't bring her best on the final day. Kristina Yershikova also struggling in the clutch. Ida Lethamaki did not play her best today, and Anniken Sten was rock solid 4 down, tied for the best round of the day. And Anakin, you know, is still giving me hope for number two European FPO. We'll see about that. And Lance says if Heinola goes in for Tuesday, he should have the new record. So I guess it depends on when they lock up the ratings, but they got to get these done, right? Like, if they don't have the ratings in by tomorrow, like, there needs to be some phone calls. Like, hey, let's get this event wrapped up. Although I guess the TD is like out for him now. Was that what I saw? Was that the TD who posted this like screed post on Instagram? That's crazy, bro. Oh no. So for those of you who didn't see this or who are just listening to this reacts later, the TD of the tournament posted angry message on social media, on Instagram, upset that Gannon left immediately after the tournament, skipped signing autographs, and went straight to the airport because he had to catch a flight. And then I'm pretty sure I saw the actual disc golf course, like, Instagram page, like, shared the story and promoted this. And listen, not the TD. Okay. I want to make sure I get this right. I don't want to call him the TD if he wasn't actually the TD. The main guy that runs the course, not the actual TD of the event. Okay. Thank you. So the guy who runs this course, which would then make sense why the course itself, like, reposted, is like incredibly upset with Gannon for leaving without signing autographs today after the final round, which, like, I definitely get it. I get that it's like probably pretty disappointing and that there's a lot of people who are hoping to get an autograph from Gannon or have him sign the disc that aren't going to get that opportunity. But the guy just spent, what, a month in Europe? He wants to go home. He probably booked these flights for 3 to 6 to 9 months ago. He was like, last tournament is this day. I'll probably be off the course by 7. I can catch the late flight out of the airport by 11, and I can get home. He's not thinking about the autographs when he booked these flights 6 months ago. And so, regardless of how you feel as the owner of the venue, you got to keep it to yourself. This is not the way to express frustration. And I honestly think it's a kind of an embarrassing black eye for the tournament right at the last moment when it was like otherwise like a pretty cool event. And Gannon apologized twice, said he spent extra time all week signing discs. And like, what are you going to do? Like, I get it, but like, to be fair, Gannon probably will learn from this moment and realize like, hey, it actually matters a lot to people that I'm available for 2 hours following rounds and book that into his schedule. But again, he wasn't thinking about that when he booked these tickets 6 months ago. So I understand the frustration, but I just think it's like not the appropriate way to interact with the top professional in the sport when you're like the owner of the venue and you want to theoretically have a continued relationship with both him and the pro tour. It just seems bad. DGN Dave says, we literally showed him signing autographs while walking to tee off last week. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any dispute that Gannon is someone who signs discs. Like, that he's a consummate pro in that way. I just think, like, this was a specific instance. And there's just going to be a lot of people who only came for the final round who are disappointed. But don't complain on socials, please. You know, text Gannon, tell him you were disappointed, tell him you really hope he could come back next year. And then maybe there's something a little bit more. You can still like affect the behavior without like making a big stink on social media. Anyway. Let's see. You know, obviously haven't seen the FPO. Haven't had a chance to watch a ton of the coverage this week, to be honest, because I'm working in Spain right now. But just looking at kind of like the way this round played out and what we've seen from these players so far, they're still learning for these young players to do. It's not just good enough to be talented, because the game is at least 50% mental. Maybe not 50%. At the highest levels, maybe. But like, there's such a huge component of being in these spots and being able to withstand your brain trying to sabotage you. And I think you're seeing that these players, having showed you that they can shoot amazing rounds, still then need to be able to do that in the big spot in the final round. And Anik and Sten is someone who has done that and who has been a veteran on tour. Very, very helpful. Let's see. If we're going to go with an FPO dog, probably Katie Tate for climbing to the podium. But you could also give it to Julia Forsch for quieting down the Kristina Yurchikova hype that I've been spreading. And being like, hey, 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 don't forget, I'm still here and I'm only 14. let's see. Fagergren. I wonder if he will ever podium again. 10-15 rated. Member since 2020. I'm not going to forget the name. Pretty cool. Is he playing anything? He's coming to Worlds. That'll be cool. I like this course, by the way. I think we can all, you know, calm down about the Insta posts, and they can keep this course on tour. Pretty cool. AB 1098 round. Yeah, that's sick. That's so sick. Barella is going to show us something again this season. Count him for at least one more win, if not two, this year. I feel like he's had these flashes of like excellence, and it's going to lock in for him at some point, and we see him show up at majors. Yeah, Asapeka says 1098 rated Eagle Drive, but the Gannon roller on 13 was 1250 rated. That's exactly right. That roller was absolutely insane. I don't even know how you do that. That people talk about the joystick thing. I'm like, how do you even manage to throw that shot? It's totally wild. We're a week away from, not even. When is U.S. Women's start? Thursday? That's crazy. 4 days away from U.S. Women's. Major season. We're coming back to the U.S. Nice little run in Europe. Who's the winner of the European swing? Like, not necessarily the player who, like, got the most total DGPT points or whatever, but, like, who do you come away thinking won Europe? An MPO, I think I would say, because Gannon got the major and capped it with the win, it's hard not to say Gannon, but I think Eagle has a really good case because he gets his first win in years. Ricky back on the board. Like, an MPO, I think it's like a little bit unclear. Lance said Gannon won, Eagle dog. Can't pick Gannon for dog because he won. FPO? I mean, was it Yurchikova? I kind of think it was Yurchikova. Julia Forge, the return of Evelina's putt. You could just say Evelina, period. I mean, the thing about Evelina is that, like, you start to dream about what it could be if she stays playing like this for 3 months. and the kind of unbelievable season she could end up having. Okay, Lance coming with the perfect takes for me tonight. Evelina won, the European youth's dog. Good call. Good call. That's exactly right. Gannonburg won over $27,000 in his European swing. Maybe he should have moved his flight. Just kidding. This was fun, though. I enjoyed the European swing this year. I would like to see a little bit more front end of European focused events with more European fields that get a little bit of more media coverage and focus from the Pro Tour. Because I think that was the one thing that was really lacking this year, was just sort of like, boom, we're into the European swing and it's like European Open. And there's no time to like build up some storylines and get ready to see which European players look the most promising, because part of it is marketing. And I felt that was kind of a miss. I think last year it was too much. They had too many events that were spread out and like they were splitting the weekends and it was just awkward. But like, I want to see them do like two weekends, with or without live coverage even, with more Pro Tour, you know, points and buzz, kind of like leading into the European swing. So it would be very helpful to like start to ID some of these, you know, like the young FPO players. Like, you start to build some hype up before the start of the big tournaments. And like, it's, to be honest, for the sickos, but that's fine. But overall, an exciting swing. All right. I'm going to have to call it here. I promise to be a little bit more alive later in the week as we get into U.S. Women's. Timing's going to be a little wacky because of the time zone situation, but probably going to be trying to do early morning reacts with Josh, my time, which will be whatever evening his time. So it'll be like nighttime reacts, which, I mean, won't be far off when rounds end, because I think the FPO going off, the lead cards are going off around 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon mountain time, right? Where in Spain am I? I am in Logroño, in the La Rioja region. 3:30 says the US WBGC website. So, you know, players will be off the course at like 6, so like 2 a.m. my time. And I'm going to be getting up early. So I'll probably have reacts around 6:30 a.m. my time, which is like evening time, U.S. So just FYI. More to come this week. We've got a preview show coming up. We'll talk more Enola and look forward to talking with you all and every day of the U.S. Women's coming up in the mountains of Utah. Good night, everybody.